This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 220 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, January 6th, 2016, the first show in the new year, joined by my co-host, Marcus Couch. Marcus, my friend, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
And as we get set here to roll into a new year, new season of WordPress Weekly, decided that we don't have a guest scheduled tonight, so we're going to catch you up on all the latest happenings in the WordPress space. And in fact, if your website has not updated yet today, it will eventually, if it's configured to receive automatic updates, because WordPress 4.4.1 was pushed out, and this release includes 52 fixes, two of which are for severe bugs, but the most important fix patches a cross-site scripting vulnerability. So it's a security release as well. So if your site has not updated yet to 4.4.1, by the time you hear this, you should update manually as soon as possible. Now, there are also some other changes to WordPress through this release. For example, the RDO embed support was removed. The plugins failing to update after 4.4 was installed. That's also been fixed. And there's also a handful of changes that have been made dealing with responsive images. And I know that quite a few people were experiencing issues with responsive images. For example, the most common one out there that I saw was that they weren't showing up. They didn't display. And that was because they were using SSL. And in order to have them display, you know, depending on if you're using Cloudflare or what type of web hosting you were using, you had to add a specific function to your functions file in order to get them to work properly. So I think that may have been addressed in this patch. I'm not sure, but 36 people contributed to the release. And if you end up updating and experience any problems, which I did see a few people report issues, but it was due to other things on their web hosting environment, you should go to the WordPress.org support forums, create a new thread in the how-to and troubleshooting section, as there are a lot of volunteers standing by ready to help you out. But that's the biggest news, that they pushed that out today. So if you haven't updated, do so as soon as possible.
Yeah, a lot of hosts out there like WP Engine. I don't know the status of GoDaddy with their WordPress managed hosting, but they push the update automatically to everything just to secure that vulnerability. So that's a good thing. It's nice when those security releases come out, and oftentimes we don't even have to lift a finger or click a mouse in order to upgrade. They get done automatically, which is great.
Well, you know, if I'm hosting my site on a managed WordPress service like WP Engine, that's, you know, I'm expecting that to happen. So it's a good thing that that's actually what's taking place.
Indeed. And you know, that's part of the magic of the WordPress managed host and some of the evolution in hosting that we've been attributed as a result of using WordPress.
So 2015 was a huge year, a big year, filled with accomplishments, sometimes some turmoil, but overall it was a great year for the WordPress theme directory and the WordPress theme review team. They actually reviewed and approved 910 new themes to the directory with the help of 236 reviewers. Now, despite their best efforts, as I recently reported late in 2015, that some theme authors have been waiting 2 months or more in the queue to receive their first review. I mean, the log is still backed up, but one of the things that the team recently has done is to allow theme updates to go through without being reviewed. Now, it hasn't been fully implemented yet, and in fact, some theme authors have already tried to abuse that system to try and improve their rankings in the directory, which I think is crazy, but I guess if money's at stake there, maybe not in terms of upselling or what have you. But that's something we can look forward to in the near future, is that if you have a theme already in the directory and you do a push on an update, you know, it's very frustrating as a theme author to tell your users, well, you know, I updated the theme, but you have to wait, and who knows how long you have to wait as a user to get that update. Well, this will help alleviate that stress. Maybe it'll bring down the queue, and everybody I have just a better time of it with the theme directory. So there's a lot of improved tools coming to the team in 2016, a lot of different processes, a lot of different things that were agreed upon in 2015 that they're going to work on implementing in 2016. But overall, just a great year for the theme review team. And I hope that something that we report on either in the middle of 2016 or at the end of 2016 is that the queue is down to a manageable number, and the number of people actively reviewing themes has increased 3 or 4 fold. That's what they really need.
I agree. I mean, that's part of the process, I guess, that is the bottleneck, is the approval process. And 910 new themes is still, that's almost 3 a day. And to be able to, I don't know, maybe that's something that we should have a guest on or somebody in the future in terms of some of the qualifications or some of the things that make the submission process maybe a little easier in terms of getting something through. So I wonder if we're going to get 1,000 themes this year or 10,000 plugins or something like that. That'd be a great benchmark, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. I mean, I know in 2015 we had that WordPress theme review roundtable where we had actual theme review team administrators mm-hmm. and moderators on to talk about the process and the things that they're doing. And I've extended them an open invitation, so I imagine at some point this year we'll have them back on and get an update and just dive more into the whole process of what it's like to both review and submit a theme to the directory.
Yep, that'd be great.
So there's some interesting stats that came out a few days ago. Helen Husandi, who is a WordPress lead developer, published a stat on Twitter that I thought was pretty amazing when I think about it, because I've been monitoring and writing about WordPress for a long time following the project. But WordPress right now has about 35 core committers. That is 35 people who have access to merge code and patches into the core of WordPress, which is what everyday users use to power their website. And out of those 35, only 22 do not work for automatic. So that's a pretty incredible stat to me. And on top of that, there is a nice pie chart that Aaron Jordan made, who's a WordPress core developer. And within the pie chart, he breaks down the percentages of the types of core contributions made by an employer. Now, automatic employees made up 20.4% of all commits, and that was the top number. However, you have to take into account the fact that there is a handful or two of automatic employees that have been contributing to WordPress because they have a WordPress.org team. And they also had a automatic employee lead a WordPress release cycle, so I'm sure that helped with the commit process. Now, employees of 10 up, WordPress development agency represented 18.8% of all commits. And I believe they make some patches here and there, but Helen Husandi is an employee of 10UP. So is Drew James. And between those two, there is a lot of commits that happen, contributions to core, just from those two people. So it's interesting how a large company with a couple handfuls of people working on WordPress can represent 20%, and another company with 2 or 3 people can represent almost the same amount in terms of contributions. So that's something to look at. And then Scott Taylor, who just led the release cycle for WordPress 4.4, he represented 18.7% of all commits during the 2015 year. And that was just him by himself. So that guy, man, you can tell he's a workhorse. So what does this all mean? What do all these stats mean? Well, you know, back in the early days of WordPress, when you looked at who had commit access to WordPress, it was split up half and half between automatic employees and people who were either independent or worked for a different agency. And there was this fear at the time that automatic owned or controlled the development and direction of the WordPress open source project. And I think all these years later, you know, at least 5 or 6 years later from when I started seeing discussions about this sort of theory, I think now I can pretty much say that it's a theory that holds no weight. There's no evidence that I've been able to find that shows or indicates that WordPress or automatic owns and controls the development of the WordPress.org open source software. So I just because these stats are just proof positive, the numbers don't lie. And I just, for whatever reason, man, there's, and I say, man, I'm talking to you, Marcus, but there is, I was involved in some discussions on the Advanced WordPress Facebook group where there are a lot of people out there who believe that WordPress is automatic. And that's false. I mean, there are a countless number of people who contribute to the project who have nothing to do, have no affiliation to Automattic. So when people say that Automattic is WordPress and they own and control the project, that's a slap in the face to all the people, the volunteers who have nothing to do with Automattic that contribute to the WordPress software. It's insulting to say that. You know, if I've committed code to WordPress, I have nothing to do really with Automattic. And, you know, it's nobody owns the WordPress software. It's free, it's open, Automattic does not control it. Now, when it comes to influence, based on the virtue of how many Automattic employees are contributing to the WordPress software, the core committers, they do have influence and some say there, but it's not like whatever Automattic wants to put into the open source software, they have free will to do that. There's been times in the past where members of the core team and the lead developers of WordPress have agreed not to add something that Automattic wanted to add into WordPress core. For example, and there's some behind the scenes stuff on this, but there's a reason why Jetpack is not bundled with WordPress like a Kismet. There was some serious conversation a few years ago to try and have Jetpack added to WordPress, you know, to bundle it, but the core development team, through several discussions, pretty much voted unanimously against it, which I think in the long term was the right decision. But I mean, that's just one example, and there are others where it's an indication where sometimes Automattic wants to use their influence to try and put something in, but if the core developers feel like it's not in the best interest of both the project and the user base, they agree not to do it. And that's the way it works. There's no conspiracy theories here on how WordPress development goes. And if I challenge anyone out there who has this mindset or believes this conspiracy theory that Automattic owns and controls WordPress, and to look at the development of WordPress, look at all the features, look at all the discussions. I mean, it's all there. It's all the public stuff. And create an investigative document that is sort of like that you would use in a court case that proves your theory. And I'll look at it. I'll read it with an open mind. And hey, who knows? Maybe I am easily convincible if you show me the evidence. And I'll read it with an open mind and maybe you can convince me. But over the last 12 years of WordPress's existence, nobody has come up with a document like that. And quite honestly, I don't think anyone will, because the evidence isn't there to support the idea that Automattic owns and controls WordPress, and WordPress development only happens based on what Automattic wants in order to serve their commercial interest. So that's sort of my big whole rant thing I've been talking about the past few days. That was my soapbox moment, my first one for the year 2016. But I'm getting, this is one of those things where I've been involved with the WordPress community and writing about it for so long, I'm getting sick and tired. I'm almost getting to the point where I don't want to defend it anymore. I don't want to tell people, no, you're wrong, and this is why, because there's just too many people out there where they want to believe perception. And Marcus, perception is different from reality. It's not reality. And the reality is that's not the way it works.
Yeah, I'll summarize this. WordPress is not owned by the man. It's owned by the people.
Well, hell, you could have saved me a lot of oxygen if you. Well, that's pretty much it in a nutshell. I mean, you nailed it. Now, granted, Matt Mulloway is one of the co-founders of the WordPress project, and he does have veto power. I mean, he has a lot of influence and say in terms of features and the direction of the project. But he's not, you know, let's just say one day he says, you know, I want this added to WordPress because the investors over here that are investing in my company want it to be in WordPress. No, it doesn't work that way. And because of the open nature of how WordPress development works, there's so many people with eyes on the software, it'd be very easy to sniff that out.
Yeah, you'd have complaints everywhere if that really happened. And that hasn't happened, even though there are your conspiracy theorists out there, as you mentioned, that, you know, seem to think that Dr. Evil runs the software and, you know, he's in some hold up hideaway somewhere in the polar Arctic. It's just not the case, man. There's some good people behind all this, a lot of whom we've had on this show. And like you said, for somebody to think that it's solely controlled by one dictator upon high is ridiculous. It's controlled by the group of people that are the contributors. And you can
By and large, the user base.
Right. And if you want to be a contributor and you'd like to commit to a release, do it. Nobody's stopping you and they'd be happy to have you.
Nah, I mean, that's not to say you may run into some friction with core developers on maybe your technique or your topic, or maybe it doesn't fit into the constraints of a release cycle. It doesn't matter. The fact is it's open to everyone if you're willing to put the time in, invest, and contribute that way. Now, with all that said, I will grant you the fact that it is somewhat confusing when you think that Matt Mulloway is the CEO of Automattic, which is a commercial entity. He is also the founding member of the WordPress Foundation, which is a 501(c) nonprofit, which helps organize WordCamps and is the holder of the WordPress trademarks. And then he's also the one of the lead developers and co-founder of the WordPress Open Source Project. Now, if you start thinking about all that, yes, I could see how it would be confusing to people, but I think he's done a great job of sort of branching those out and sort of making those separate entities. And of course, there's going to be overlap there between all three of those organizations. But, you know, by and large, he's not doing one to serve the other, if you know what I mean. I mean, he's not robbing from Peter to pay Paul with his position in all three of those categories.
Yeah, let's look at it from a different angle. Jump into the dream machine with me here, and let's go to a different alternate dimension where WordPress, maybe 3 years in, was sold to Adobe.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be as cool as it is today?
No, who knows? Probably not. No.
No, I think it sucks. I think it sucks with Adobe WordPress. I don't like it. But, you know, and then who's to say they wouldn't completely change the way that people make themes and plugins, and you know, maybe you got to buy in and be a partner and a developer and you got to pay a fee and all that stuff just to put a plugin out. We're a pretty free and loose society when it comes to WordPress and the community. And you know, I know we're really getting off on this subject a little bit, but the reason why I love it and appreciate it and dedicate my time to contributing to it and being on this podcast and everything else is that I love using the software. I love what it does for clients. I love what it does for, you know, independent startups. I love what it does for entrepreneurs. And I love the fact that it's free and it doesn't cost a lot. And there's no real expensive buy-in just to get started. Heck, by the time you import WooCommerce and put in Infusionsoft and blah, 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 and all the rest of it, yeah, you run into the thousands and sometimes thousands a month. But you got to spend money to make money. And when you're just starting out, WordPress is the platform of choice because it's so accessible and you have such a community of knowledgeable people that are willing to help you out, and shows like this that help engage you as far as the news and the pulse of what's happening in the community. It's an entity like no other in terms of its efficiency and availability of what's around in terms of your local meetup to WordCamps to, just simple little things like the 20 different WordPress podcasts that are out there.
So, Marcus, there wouldn't be a WordPress if it wasn't for Automattic.
That's right.
No, I'm just being a sarcastic son of a gun because I can't. That's completely false. So there's my little rant. By the way, if anybody has feedback on that, if you disagree or you want to talk more about it, even though I'm already exhausted, feel free to email me at jeffc@wptavern.com. I'd be more than willing to put your responses on the air. In fact, next week we could talk about it a little more if you want. So.
Yeah, and if you want to design me a Adobe WordPress logo, I'd like to see that. That'd be funny. A box with a WP in it.
That could be interesting. So, WordCamp Miami 2016. WordCamp Miami is one of the biggest sort of well-run, organized WordCamps there are each year. And this time it's going to take place February 19th through the 21st. So if you have not gotten your tickets, they may be sold out already because WordCamp Miami is usually one of those camps that sell out fast.
But I wish I could go to that. Man.
They're ramping up for their 8th event, so it's going to be 8th year in a row, and they expect to draw up to 700 attendees. And as usual, they're going to have a buddy camp, which is going to take place on the 19th, so the first day, which is probably going to be a Friday. And it's going to be led by John James Jacoby, friend of the show. Mm-hmm. And he will be talking about the current state of BuddyPress. And they're going to be showcasing BuddyPress sites that extend the software from typical use cases you might find with BuddyPress. And one of the big events here, now, Matt Mulloway gave everybody a homework assignment at the State of the Word in 2015, and it is learn JavaScript deeply. Well, WordCamp Miami is actually going to have a learn JavaScript deeply track. So a whole track all day is pretty much going to be a whole workshop on Sunday, February 21st. And it's going to be held by Michael Schofield. He's going to host it. He's a local developer down there in Miami. And they're going to explore the advanced aspects of JavaScript while touching on frameworks such as Backbone, AngularJS, and React. And there's also going to be a handful of other developers as well presenting on various WordPress topics and JavaScript. And if that was not enough, one of the coolest things that WordCamp Miami does is they had a like a kids workshop. So you'd go in and children between the ages of 8 and 12, accompanied by a parent, did a workshop during the day, or at least during the morning, where they learned how to install WordPress, how to configure their permalinks, how to install a theme, how to customize their site. And it's really cool because most of these kids, it's like it's like no big deal to them. They're like, yeah, next, they go through the next step and they're already on board, working on SEO or something. But they're going to have a round table, sort of a panel, an actual kids panel, which is called The Next Generation of WordPress Users on Sunday, February 21st, where they're going to be looking for children under 18 who use WordPress or who blog on other platforms. And they're going to bring those people together to talk about the future of WordPress and maybe the future of blogging overall. And if they find the people for that, I think that could end up being one of the most interesting panel discussions there at the entire event the whole weekend. I wonder if I don't think they're going to be doing a live stream, but hopefully if they were, I would definitely be tuned in to that panel.
Oh, yeah. And, I'm so anxious to see what kind of development kids can do. The other day I was at the grocery store and the kid in line in front of me was texting on his phone. It looked like he was playing piano. It was so fast. He was typing. And I looked deeply into the screen and I swear he was playing some kind of a coding game where he was coding something. I don't know. But it was definitely not your typical text. It was it was programming for sure. So that's definitely interesting. I don't know if they're going to record that from a video perspective, but I'd really like to see some of the content that gets done and how they actually go about it and some of the interaction. That would be interesting. And then second, and this is you and me going on a trip to Dreamland again, but Miami has such an affluent and large Cuban community. You think there's ever going to be a WordCamp Havana?
I'm not sure. Maybe we should. At some point this year, we'll probably get Andrea Middleton back on or somebody from WordCamp Central, and we could ping her and say, has there been anyone from that area that has expressed interest in organizing a WordCamp? And if so, why hasn't it happened yet? Or maybe they don't have an established community yet or whatever, but she would be the one that could tell us and let us know.
It's been a while since we've talked to Andrea. It's been 2 years. It's 2014 is when we last spoke to her, I think, right before WordCamp San Francisco. So
we're probably due.
Yeah, she's definitely.
Actually, we're overdue because in 2016, there has been a major change with the way WordCamps are going to be funded, because the money used to be funneled through the WordPress Foundation. But now the WordPress Foundation, there's going to be a subsidiary of the WordPress Foundation that the money is going to roll through. That's going to be a for-profit organization, or it's going to be taxable to the point where it relaxes the restrictions that were on them as a 501(c) nonprofit, which actually there's quite a few benefits. It benefits sponsors in many ways. And I think, we got to get her on to explain more about that. So that's actually pretty important news.
Yeah, I can't wait. That was a great show last time. And I think I'm going to probably listen to that show again before we have her on, so that I can, you know, let's put her feet to the flames when it comes to some of the things that she was talking about, you know, like video streaming everywhere and all that. I want to know what's going on with that stuff.
And LoopConf, if you're familiar with that, it was a sort of a high-end WordPress developers conference for developers. Well, they've announced dates for the event in 2016. It'll be October 5th through the 7th in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. So you can pretty much guarantee it's going to be nice down there. And from the people who attended the first LoopConf, which I believe was in Las Vegas last year, there's Ryan Sullivan and the organizing team did a wonderful job. I mean, there is nothing but high praise given to the organizing committee for the developer conference. So this is something you'll want to keep an eye on, especially if you're either a budding developer or an experienced developer, and you just want to surround yourself with high-level minds that like to think about code all the time and complex problems. I mean, this is your conference. This is where you got to go. So if you visit loopconf.io, which we'll have a link to in the chat, you could sign up to their email list and be able to receive information when they have information about ticket sales. Tickets are not on sale yet, and they also are looking for sponsors. So if you're interested in sponsoring LoopConf, there are spots open for you, and you'd have to go there and fill out the form and let them know, hey, you want to give them your money. So put that on your date, October 5th through the 7th, 2016, LoopConf, Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Yeah, but definitely sign up to their list if you're thinking about going. Go to their site.
You get to sell out fast once the word gets out.
Exactly. So you get to know, and perhaps I don't know if there's early birds or things like that in terms of buying tickets, but go ahead and opt into that list. I would definitely do it if you're thinking about going.
So that about wraps up some of the important stuff that's been happening in the WordPress community over the past week or so. And Marcus, I know you wanted to bring up a subject that I'm vaguely familiar with. I think it was launched either in early December or November, and I knew it was big news. I've had it queued up on my browser for a while to learn more about it, but it's called AMP. And tell us a little bit about it. What would you want to
share
with the audience?
I want to get people to everybody out there that's listening to this show. There's a reason why I waited this long in terms of the show to do it, because I want to make sure that you're a nice, friendly show listener that sticks with us before I give you this gold on the show. But this potentially could, really save your website when it comes to a mobile experience. So accelerated mobile pages, basically. Here's the thing. The mobile experience on a lot of websites that you go to stinks. And there's no real good way to say that, responsive or not. I mean, a lot of pages take forever to load. And ads crowd our mobile screens, and there's pop-ups. Some of these pages are so messed up in terms of trying to do crazy CSS tricks and all that, that the phone browser sometimes even crashes.
Oh, yeah. So
everybody's done that. Yeah, everybody has. So to help, viewers and audiences, a big, large group of content companies led by Google created a lightweight version of HTML, and that is called AMP, Accelerated Mobile Pages. And AMP technology takes your existing web page and just kind of whittles it down to the core basics, and it removes a lot of different features that a lot of huge web pages have on it, scripting, different codes and little features and stuff that normally on a desktop wouldn't slow things down or alter it in a large browser. But because it's viewed on a mobile device, even if it's responsive, you know, a lot of those scripts still end up loading, and it completely ruins the experience. Now, why am I talking about this? Well, it deserves your attention in 2016 for one phrase alone, and that's search engine optimization. Because as of now, you got to understand something, that anytime Google puts its weight behind something like this, they're going to use it. And they just announced at the beginning of the first quarter of 2016, which is merely days ago, it starts to send mobile users to search results that have an AMP version of that page before they will the non-compliant, non-AMP versions of pages. So if you get any kind of mobile traffic whatsoever, you need to start getting AMP compliant. And I got good news for all you folks out there, because there's a WordPress plugin that does it. And the strange thing is this is also co-developed in terms of this plugin by Automattic themselves.
So, oh, great. All part of the conspiracy theory. Now Automattic's in bed with Google. That's just great.
Well, there's a lot of other companies as well. It's a big bed over there. But the interesting thing is this, we're going to put a link to this in the show notes, but there is an AMP plugin in the repository, and it's also available on GitHub in the Automattic GitHub profile. It's there as well. So all you have to do is install this, and what happens is it appends the permalinks with the AMP version on a mobile display, and then Google will index it as AMP compliant. And then you're going to start getting a lot better rankings from a mobile perspective, because you are AMP compliant and your competitors are not. So that's AMP in a nutshell. Make sure that you install this plugin on your sites, client sites, those kinds of things. It will definitely enhance your traffic in this year and beyond, and at least until your competitors figure out that they don't have AMP. So
this plugin you're talking about, I mean, is it as easy to make my site AMP compatible just by installing and activating the plugin? It'll automatically handle what needs to happen, or is there things I have to configure?
It depends really on how you have things set up to begin with. If you have a lot of external suffixes, so to speak, on your links. But if you don't have any of that, or if you don't even know what I'm talking about, then yes, you can just put it in and install it and activate it, and you're good to go.
Is that plugin available on the WordPress plugin directory or on GitHub?
It's available both. It is definitely in the plugin repository. It was released in October. For some reason, it just evaded my radar. I didn't see it. I didn't see that Automattic had done it. And it came to my attention last week, and I've been talking to a couple other people about it that are heavy into search engine optimization and really trying to figure out exactly what it is and what it is not and what it enabled you to gain by using it. And I would say if you're on WordPress and it's as simple as downloading a plugin and turning it on, test it out, make sure that you don't have any speed changes, which I don't think you should. There's no risk to installing this and putting it in. It's only going to help you.
So it sounds like if anyone out there is using like WordPress for mobile app plugin, or to put on this mobile type theme on a mobile device, or even if you have a responsive design and maybe it still loads fast, it sounds like you may be missing out on some traffic thanks to Google backing AMP if you don't have the AMP code installed on your site.
That's correct. So definitely check out AMP. We will have a link to the plugin and the description of it in the show notes for this episode. So,
and it's also important to recognize that it's an open source initiative too. So contributions can be had from anyone who knows a thing or two about how it works, or maybe they want to improve it. And that the same goes for the plugin. The plugin is also released under open source. And if anyone out there is interested in more information about AMP, you can visit ampproject.org. And there's tutorials and everything you need to know about the specification on their site.
Yeah, if you're interested in contributing and you're a new coder, this might be a really nice project for you to get involved in, because it's got a lot of other kind of cross-platform functionalities. I mean, Google's on board, Automattic's on board, a lot of other companies are on board. So if you wanted to hitch your star to something cool in terms of contributions of a project, this would be one of them.
All right, so that leads us to the plugin picks of the week. What do we have? What do you have?
I got one more thing that I wanted to talk about, which was over the holidays.
Ah, the REST API, the magic car
project
you're working on.
I took the flying car for a little spin. And I didn't get too far off the ground, but neither did the Wright brothers the first time that they became airborne. They just went for a couple hundred feet, I think. I started goofing with the REST API on a test staging site, and I noticed I use this teleconferencing tool sometimes called Zoom, zoom.com, Z-O-O-M, and they have a REST API also. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if they talk to each other. And I got them to talk to each other. And I even got them to talk to each other through a mini form where it then sent the conference invite and a link to start a conference. And I was using it actually with my iPad and the app, and it all worked to where it was almost like tech support chat, you know, but you click the link and in about 10 seconds, it opens up the stream in terms of, it's almost like a webcam. I could be a webcam girl with this, but it was so interesting to just do something and not have to have any weird plugins or stuff like that, to just create a little bit of a script and have them talk to each other. So it's just the tip of the iceberg. It's just me goofing around for a couple of days with the REST API, but I've already figured out that much, and I'm not even a coder, so I can't even imagine what other people are going to be making with it.
So you're learning a little bit of JSON and learning how to communicate between endpoints, and there you go. I mean, that's the basics right there.
Yeah, and I'm a moron when it comes to JavaScript and all that stuff. So it was surprisingly easy. I mean, I was pleasantly surprised that only after maybe an hour of goofing around with both of them, I actually got some kind of response out of two completely different services. So it's like I made my own Zapier, you know, like middleware stuff.
Oh, man, you just opened up a whole new world for you, Marcus. Now go explore and report back.
I did. Yes.
You're like the Lois and Clark of work, of technology software development. You have to report back, though. Don't get lost.
Yeah. I might get lost in the wilderness and never return. Who knows?
Awesome. Great to hear that you're exploring with the REST API. And by the way, man, it's going to be awesome. 2016. There's some things underway afoot to try and get the second half of the REST API in the core, which, you know, if all things go well, by about the middle of April, WordPress 4.5 will ship, and it will have the full API. Man, it's developers are going to be cheering about that. And then I'm just curious to see what the next 4 months bring in terms of interfaces and different cool technologies that implement that WordPress API. I'm really looking forward to it.
What's weird is I almost think that it could be like Zapier, like middleware stuff. Like people could come out with those kinds of middle scripts that aren't quite plugins, but they're batches of stuff, you know, or sequences that it's very interesting. I mean, to see like to look at other sites that I know aren't even in WordPress that do ungodly things like speed check or, you know, test your website for speed and things like that. To know that you might be able to make WordPress pages do that kind of thing just based on the API and callouts and stuff is pretty cool. So I could see WordPress taking over some big enterprise level thing. I could also see it doing stuff that a lot of the big project management systems already do now, hooking into Google Drive and Dropbox and all the rest of it. And it's just cool. So I'm intrigued by it. I had to dive in feet first, but slowly, but I'll report back my progress every time I make some.
Awesome. So with that said, I guess one of the first plugin picks of the week you have on here is IP Login.
Yeah, this one is a little, it's a slippery slope, but it might be easier for you in terms of dealing with clients that maybe have an office or something like that and want to get to the back end. It's called IP Login, and what it does is it enables you to log in from a trusted whitelisted IP without entering a password, just by entering a suffix on the URL that is, you know, bypass login equals the username. And then boom, it logs them in. Pretty neat. So use that at your own discretion, though, and please make sure that you have an IP that's normal in terms of, you know, not just some open thing or the IP on your phone or something like that. Make sure you use this wisely. Second plugin, this is a really cool development, Jeff. It's called Slide Anything. It's a carousel / slider where it actually lets you slide in all kinds of stuff, images, text, HTML, and short codes. You can slide a short code of something in.
Oh, boy.
How about that? So it's,
yeah. I just slide anything and you say carousels. It's like I can hear so many people out there going, oh, you know, groaning.
Yeah. Well, you could do an O embed of something with a short code.
But the fact you can expand it beyond just your typical excerpts or featured images, I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, what could you do with that? Like, you could do like a slide that pulls in all the latest stock quotes for a company's stock or something like that, or, you know, live charts that get rendered HTML wise or anything. I mean, it's pretty cool. So it's not REST API cool, but it's still pretty cool. And it uses the jQuery plugin that's called Owl Carousel. And by the way, these are all touch enabled, responsive, all that kind of stuff. So really nice. Called Slide Anything. Check out the link in the show notes. And this next plugin, Jeff, is something that's probably been lacking in terms of the export feature. This is cool. It's called WP Smart Export. And what it does is it's a customizable data exporter for outputting posts and user data and things like that. But it doesn't do like what WordPress export tool does, where it exports it in HTML. Instead, this puts it in a readable format so that if you want to just say you wanted to make an ebook out of all your WordPress posts, you just use this export tool and it downloads all your posts and it's in a readable text format that you can use, you know, in normal human reading format rather than crazy database or XML format. So this is really nice. Called WP Smart Export. I know that I've had listeners for years asking me about tools like this that can just download the entire thing all in one shot. And this is it. There is a free version, by the way, in the repository. The only difference with the pro version is I think the pro version lets you do custom post types too. But okay, for just basic post and user downloads, this is great with the free version as is. WP Smart Export. And those are my plugin picks, the first ones in 2016 of the week.
Awesome. So that's going to do it for this edition of WordPress Weekly. I am currently in the process of putting together the WordPress Accessibility Roundtable, and I'm going to get on the phone here with Matt Mulloway, get him on the show, and see if we can't get him on in February. And yeah, I'm going to ping Andrea Middleton, get her on the show, and get Ben Welch Bolin, one of the former founders of Site5. He's working with a new web hosting company called Prest. That is, in my opinion, one of the top companies to watch in 2016, especially as it relates to WordPress products trying out software as a service models. So that's what we have in store for you and what we're working on. But you can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes on WPTavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro. That's JeffFR0. And Marcus?
Find me at my website, MarcusCouch.com, and most commonly on Twitter, at MarcusCouch.
Okie dokie. So until next week, everybody have a safe and enjoyable rest of the week. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday evening.